Welcome back, everyone, to the Risk Intel Podcast, powered by SRA Watchtower, where we share risk intelligence with experts from across the banking industry. I'm your host, Ed Vinson, CEO at SRA Watchtower. Welcome to today's Risk Intel Podcast. Joining me today is Ian Maloney, Senior Vice President and Head of Policy and Regulatory Affairs at the American FinTech Council. Ian brings a unique combination of regulatory experience and perspective to AFC, having worn multiple policy hats in Washington, researched the fintech space in academia, and operated inside a BaaS bank. Ian, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Ed. Appreciate being here.
Right. So let's look forward then now to 2024 here a little bit, right? We talked a bit about what we saw in 2023 and then maybe the 2024 impact of that. Let's look forward to the 2024 regulatory landscape. Clearly, you guys are on the forefront here of, you know, these policy conversations. Do you have any visibility into, you know, where regulators are concentrating their efforts at this point and where they're likely to spend their time in 2024?
So I think beyond the third party and data privacy discussions, which, you know, those will continue into 24, I'm actually excited about some of the regulatory agenda items that came out in the most recent unified regulatory agenda for BSA and AML reform. Both the prudential regulators as well as FinCEN have said that they're going to be pursuing rulemaking related to reforming customer due diligence. One of the big issues for us, and this is an area where regulatory modernization, it makes perfect sense. There's the requirement under the Customer Information Program to actually collect the full social security number of an individual every time a bank engages in a transaction. Now, through an exemption that came out a number of years ago, credit cards were exempted from collecting the full social security number of an individual. However, when thinking about online lenders, they're not afforded that same exemption. And so we actually in 2023 brought this to the attention of FinCEN and the prudential regulators that this seems like an area where it doesn't necessarily make sense to have an exemption for one and not for the other. So we've been pushing for an exemption a full rulemaking that would ultimately remove that requirement and allow the online lenders to collect the last four of a social, and then also, you know, check that against the credit reporting agencies and other databases to make sure that it's sufficiently clear that this is the individual you're working with, because ultimately the intent of both Congress as well as the agencies when they came up with the CIP with that program was to ensure that there was nothing that was impractical or overly costly, overly burdensome for a financial institution to put forth. And we're finding that from a usability standpoint, as well as a cost standpoint, this is hugely burdensome. So we wanted to make sure that there's an exemption there. And I think overall, you know, Customer Due Diligence and Bank Secrecy Act, looking at how old that piece of legislation and regulation is, could do with some modernization. So that's one area. A couple of others that are just off the top of my head would be earned wage access. This is a relatively new and innovative financial product that allows consumers to actually access their earned wages. It's all in the title, right? They can access their earned wages as soon as they get them, and they don't have to wait for the 2 week or semi-monthly or monthly paycheck that may come. If they worked the hours, they can go and leverage an earned wage access provider either through their employer or directly, you know, they can engage with them direct to consumer and actually get their wages. There's a free option. There's some with that have costs depending on how expedited it is. But there's, for the entities that we're working with that are our members, there's always a free option. And I think, you know, it just returns that reward to the work that you've done, it returns that back to what it was 100 years ago when it was piecemeal and focused on, you did the work, now you get the pay. So there's been a patchwork regulatory environment. There's concerns around how things are sitting at the federal level as it relates to CFPB oversight. So I think in 2024, you're going to see a lot more movement on EWA. And then lastly, kind of touching on data privacy again, but from a different angle, the Fair Credit Reporting Act reform that CFPB in 2023 issued part of their advance notice proposed rulemaking phase. They issued a SBRIFA, small business panel, and they're going to be issuing a report on how they're going to potentially expand Fair Credit Reporting Act requirements and what that will all look like. So that's something I think maybe indirectly for the banks, but definitely directly for the fintechs to be considering and thinking about in 2024.
The earned wage access one, right, is a really fascinating one to me, right? I think the people of this at this point have hopefully got past the fact that, this is not a loan. This is right. It should not be regulated in that way. And it really is bringing technology and innovation, which is right, shrinking timelines and right and enabling transfers of funds in a more timely manner to a practice, as you said, right, that is as old as time, right? And so I think that all those concepts really resonate around that topic, and the fact that right, we are tackling this in a patchwork manner, have tackled it in a patchwork manner. I know that right, you guys were very involved in a number of states where they have made great headway in this area, but bringing that up there to the federal level so that there is consistency certainly will make it easier for businesses which are operating in multiple states, right, to understand how to navigate that landscape.
Absolutely. And I think you hit the nail on the head of that. This EWA is not a loan, should not be regulated as such. That's been our stance. We actually took the CFPB's advisory opinion from a couple of years ago and used that as sort of the baseline for understanding what responsible EWA looks like. We issued some standards that all of our companies adhere to when they join AFC. And in that there's no recourse, there's a focus on no underwriting of the individual, there's the focus on the free option, and all of these things, they don't exist within the lending space. They're not, that's ultimately, and there's a larger, I think, more theoretical conversation that can be had around, is there a debt that's being created? And our position is that there is no debt that's being created as it relates to the definitions of what a debt is under under TILA for credit and how they're defining debt. And then just overall a commonplace use of that term. But there is the development of that patchwork nature. Some states are still seeing this as a loan or trying to fit it within their lending structure. And we recognize how difficult it is to create a bespoke regulatory framework. That is a monumental task in and of itself. But to misapply an existing regulatory framework to something that just does not fit into it, it ultimately will not serve the consumers. It will increase confusion on what their rights are and what the ability for the industry to really provide those services to those consumers. So we're hopeful that states like Nevada that have put forth a bespoke regulatory framework and Missouri, that those pieces of legislation will catch fire in 2024, and they'll be able to go to other states and eventually create that more unified approach. But the earned wage access bill by Representative Stile was also something that we supported, because there again it created that proper bespoke regulatory framework. And so we're hopeful that there will be some movement on that in 2024.
someone has to be the leader, right? And if it's easier to do that at the state level and then drag the federal right system along behind you, sometimes that's going to have to be the case. And in other cases here, right, it's clear that right you are trying to advocate for this at the federal level and get that consistency in place from the get-go. All right, Ian, we covered a lot of ground here. Is there anything you know? And I think that right, I'm scratching down copious notes here as we've gone through this. And one of my takeaways is we need to have you back as this stuff will evolve in real time, right? And so maybe we try and we get you back in here next quarter and see how some of these things have shaken out. But is there anything else that ground that you think we have not covered here as it relates to 2024?
There's a lot of ground that we could cover. Absolutely. I think AI is a big buzzword, right? Coming from 2023. But our hope is with 2024 that there's careful consideration of what AI legislation as well as AI regulation would actually entail, because these are not simple concepts. These are not simple technologies, and we need to make sure that we're developing a responsible regulatory framework, but at the right time. And thinking about the larger conversation on AI has been typically focused on like generative AI. But generative AI is something that is not necessarily fully functional within financial services. There's been more of a function within machine learning algorithms and the use of data and modeling of data to provide lower cost access to credit. And that I think is a conversation that unfortunately gets conflated at the regulatory and at the especially at the legislative levels. And there needs to be an understanding that different types of AI is a tool. And ultimately, like any tool, you have to have the right tool for the job. So regulating AI in a comprehensive manner can create difficulties if you don't do it correctly for the specific use cases that may be within financial services. So ultimately, again, we want careful consideration for any regulation. I personally think that we're quite a little bit away from having true, meaningful legislation come out on AI, but that doesn't mean that there's not going to be messaging and positioning bills that get put forward. And ultimately, the regulators are trying to engage with this topic quite wholeheartedly, and I think in good faith, but they really, I think they and the industry recognize how difficult the topic really is. And then secondly, I would say probably going back to the regulatory modernization side of things, on the student lending side. So we have in our memberships and student lenders, and what we've found is that there's some technological improvements that are probably needed at the Department of Education. And this is not to single out the Department of Education on its own. I think across the board, we're seeing the need for improved regulatory technology, supervisory technology, the use of APIs to collect data to make it less burdensome on the compliance side for financial institutions and any reporting entity. And then ultimately, use of that data and analysis that comes from it, leveraging things like machine learning to then have better outputs. So, ultimately, for the Department of Education, we're seeing that there's difficulties within their data collection and providing of the data to loan servicers that creates a difficult situation for them when they're trying to assess, borrowers' repayment and ensure that repayment goes quite well for the borrower. And then lastly, I would say that debt settlement has been an issue that I'm not looking to pick a fight on anything, but debt settlement practices are, they're an area where, we had conversations with the Bureau, with CFPB, on what the importance of ensuring that there's proper disclosures for consumers to understand when they're engaged with debt settlement companies, how that may impact their credit And a lot of our companies that are lenders, people, consumers come to them for debt, not debt relief, but to consolidate debt. And that's a great way to ensure that a consumer's credit score can be benefited, that they can get out from under, exorbitant fees and high interest and be put into responsible credit. And then, ultimately they benefit. But when they're engaged with debt settlement companies, there's been a lot of focus on, oh, we'll get you out of this debt and you won't have to pay. And there's not proper disclosure around what that will actually do to a consumer's credit score. And so it can ultimately end up hurting them. And so, we in that vein of ensuring that responsible actors are able to exist and operate effectively in the market, we want the Bureau to pursue additional data collection on what's happening to consumers. They have the authority to do so. And then also potentially to pursue rulemaking or some other supervisory quality for the debt settlement industry. So it's a big, interesting area, but that's something that we're passionate about, and ultimately it serves consumers and allows them to engage with our members more effectively and not have to worry about what their, how their credit's being affected incorrectly.
It seems like in particular on that the debt settlement front there, that's a big one, right? There's a lot to unpack there, and that feels like that is a multi-year journey to make headway on something that is that expensive. And can you chunk it up and take incremental steps along the way? And look, probably a similar perspective on the AI front there, that right, that's one that is moving so darn fast. You have to, you're not gonna be able to solve that holistically all at one time. So can you do pieces along the way? Lots that we covered here. I greatly appreciate it, Ian. As I said, I think that right, having you back to track some of these areas, right, whether it's BSA AML, EWA, Fair Credit Reporting, or the AI regulatory modernization and debt settlement, certainly that would be interesting. I think the other thing that would be interesting would be to unpack this idea of compliance first fintechs and really kind of drilling down into that. Obviously, that's a big part of AFC and what you guys are trying to accomplish. I appreciate you coming on, giving us this view into what responsible innovation can be, what pragmatic policy decisions actually look like. And I think that the getting into the specifics around avoiding regulatory arbitrage, a situation where there's regulatory arbitrage, creating consistency across that regulatory environment, and seeing how some of these things play out, right? Whether it's the evolution of exams around third-party risk management, or the progression of an action and enacting of the data privacy rulemaking, is going to be really interesting to see how this shakes out in 2024. So, Ian, thank you very much. We appreciate it. Great perspective, and we look forward to having you back on a future episode.
Wonderful. Thanks, Ed. Greatly appreciate it.
For more information on SRA, please visit srarisk.com. Watch or listen to our weekly Risk Intel podcast series, or follow us on LinkedIn to learn more.